Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's FBC Radio Live. It's January the 10th, 2023, and we are just barreling towards Super Wildcard Weekend, which gets kicked off this Saturday and runs all the way through Monday, John. Monday. I guess I'll let you know how I like that based on the conclusion of that game. But I like having Wildcard Weekend primarily on Sunday, and you know, but this shouldn't surprise us as. Look, we know the NFL, they're going to maximize every single day. They're going to squeeze every single hour of your day or every single hour they can to get football in front of you. And, you know, like I said, Monday night wild card game could be pretty fun.
Yeah, it should be interesting, right? You got Dallas traveling to Tampa Bay. And I was doing a little research this morning because what the hell, why not? The last time the Dallas Cowboys won a road playoff game was January 17th, 1993. They beat the 49ers 30-20 in the NFC Championship game at Candlestick Park. They've lost their last 8 road playoff games. Now, I know we talk about this all the time, like that's got nothing to do with what's going to happen on Monday night, but that's kind of a black cloud hovering over the organization. And we know that Tom Brady 7-0 against the Cowboys in his career. So are those streaks going to continue, or are they going to both break up on Monday night? So that is one of the marquee games of the weekend, obviously.
Well, to put it in perspective, you say 1993. Well, you know, we both like movies here. So this is what came out in 1993, John. A Bronx Tale.
Some great movies.
Oh, yeah. Schindler's List.
Yeah.
I saw that one. I wasn't making out during that one. Falling Down.
No.
Yeah, Falling Down. I like that one. Rookie of the Year, for any of you baseball fans out there, the kid with the snapback wrist. Tombstone, that's another good one. Jurassic Park, 1993, the original one. Rudy, I'm looking at the list right now. Philadelphia, what a great year for movies. How about that?
The Fugitive, I think, in 93.
The Fugitive, yes. And
I think in 93, yep.
John, one of my favorite Daniel Day-Lewis movies, In the Name of the Father, of course.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
That was probably the second best movie of 93 behind Schindler's List. Is an all-time great film. I mean, it's epic. But yeah, in the name of the father was sensational as well.
Think about this: Dazed and Confused, Cliffhanger, The Sandlot. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about like some classic movies: Fatal Instinct, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. That's I might have to go back and just watch every movie that came out in 1993. I generally watch most of them anyway, so it's not.
I think
a big
also
deal.
one of my favorite cult films of all time, Fearless with Jeff Bridges.
That came out in 1993,
a sensational film.
Yep.
Rosie Perez got an Oscar nomination out of that. Jeff Bridges should have got nominated, but it was a stacked year. That is one of the best movie years ever. And then 1974 also sticks out as ancient, you know, when you have The Godfather Part II, Chinatown, and also The Conversation. You know, those were all great films also. But yeah, it was a deep year for movies, like you said, like, really good comedies, action-adventure movies, and obviously the Oscar-worthy type stuff.
Groundhog Day came out. One of my favorite, well, actually, no, apparently this is a different one, Knuckle Up. I don't know about that one. But Three Ninjas, I think, or thought came out. That I think one of the sequels came out. I actually like the first one better. So that's that. I think that might actually come out in 1990. But you're looking at, like, Last Action Hero, Robin Hood Men in Tights. Like, I mean, What a great year. And then you get to 1994 when the greatest movie ever comes out, and that's Shawshank Redemption. So
we don't have enough time to discuss
No.
That's your personal favorite, I know, and it's outstanding. Also, in 1994, Forrest Gump, I think, is wildly overrated. I mean, the first time I saw it, I really liked it. The second time, I'm like, why did I like it the first time so much? But also in 1994, my favorite film of 1994 is Quiz Show.
Yeah.
With Ralph Fiennes, I think it's a fabulous film. But yeah, that was another great year as well. It was like in that period of time, you had still the old actors, you know, the great actors that I grew up watching were still making pretty prominent films. And then you had the next wave of great actors and directors coming about. And it seems like there's like a dead zone right now with movies.
Well, you know, during that time too, I mean, you had the 80s and 90s action movies. I mean, you had you had the Stallones, the Schwarzeneggers, the Van Dammes, of course, you know, because I'm looking at Nowhere to Run right now. I was a big Van Damme fan. I like all of his movies, even though it's essentially the same story, just kind of tweaked slightly here and there. But, yeah, so anyways, that's the type of mindset you have to put yourself into if you're want to remember what it was like for the Cowboys to go win a road playoff game. I mean, we dangerously came close to derailing this conversation and making it all about movies, and you know, which is fine by me. I have no problem doing that, especially when we're talking about 1993. I mean, just I feel there should be like a case study done just on this year alone and why things were so good. But hey, that it is what it is. Anyways, let's get back to football. You mentioned it. We got Dallas. We got the Buccaneers on Monday night. You know, of all the matchups the Buccaneers drew, this is the most intriguing because, you know, you might not put the Buccaneers over the Eagles or the 49ers or even the Vikings. But when you look at the Cowboys and the Buccaneers, I feel like a lot of people are going to favor the Buccaneers in this just because, A, I think there's a lot of doubt in what the Cowboys can do, and B, I mean, they just haven't been playing good football, so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. However, before we get to really diving deep into that, we're going to do that a lot more later in the week. Monday, yesterday, as it is called in the NFL, is Black Monday. And by that, they mean, well, generally a lot of coaches get fired on that day. We had a couple early firings this year. However, your boy Cliff Kingsbury, done, out, finished, kaput. Not too surprising, but you know that franchise is going through quite a mess. You know, having to not only replace a coach, but a general manager, and you know, quite frankly, you have a quarterback that right now's price tag is far greater than what he's giving you. So, at every important level of that franchise, you kind of have an issue if you're Arizona, and I'd be interested to see who wants that job. I mean, the idea of working with Kyler Murray is enticing, I'm sure, to some coaches, but outside of that, what do they really got going for them?
Yeah, an aging roster, right? I mean, they kind of went all in the last couple of years, and DeAndre Hopkins, they're probably going to try to move him to save some money on that contract. J.J. Watt's retiring, so they're going to have to rebuild a pretty strong division, too, when you look at San Francisco being the model franchise in that division, Seattle kind of rebounding a little bit, and who the hell knows what's going to happen with the Rams if Sean McVay comes back next year. But, yeah, that's not a real appealing job, but it is one of 32, and if they're going to throw a five-year $40 million contract on someone to coach it, someone's going to accept it because it appears now, Ian, that these owners aren't afraid to move off of coaches after one or two bad years, and the contracts are guaranteed. So if you're Cliff Kingsbury, I believe there's 4 or 5 years left on that new deal he signed in the offseason.
Yeah, I think 2027.
Right, so 5 more years of collecting checks at $6-8 million a year. He's got that beautiful home in Arizona. I mean, he could just kind of kick back and maybe do some part-time work for the NFL Network or do whatever the hell he wants. Go golf every day if he wants. Or, you know, I'm sure he wants to get back into coaching. He's still a very young guy. Another one of the head coaches younger than Tom Brady, drafted after Brady.
Played with Brady.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady's become, you know, 6 degrees of separation. So, yeah, I mean, he could move on to be an offensive coordinator or someone. I mean, there's some rumors that maybe the Patriots would be interested. I don't know if that would be necessarily a match because he's got a really specific offense that you need a quarterback with a specific skill set. So I don't know how that would work with Mac Jones. But, yeah, the teams are just moving on from coaches. Look at Houston. Back-to-back years, they fired their coach after 1 year. So Cal McNair is going to be paying a lot of money out to coaches that aren't going to be coaching.
Yeah, and look, I mean, when that type of money doesn't count against the salary cap, and if you have it, then, you know, so be it. We think $40 million is a lot of money, and it is. But when you're a billionaire, it's all relative. And some of these teams are getting desperate because they see that it is possible to turn your franchise around quickly, but it's not easy. And I think that's the problem. Like, everyone's like, okay, we're going to go out and get the new hot name. Or in a situation like, say, Carolina, for instance, we see this endless cycle. This is how it works. Like, Steve Wilks got a lot of praise, and rightfully so. But the reality of it is, John, they went 6-6 down the stretch. Now, what happens a lot in these situations is, well, the interim coach comes in, does better than the previous coach because the bar set so low, and then that team commits to the interim coach when in reality he's not really a great coach. Like I'm pointing to Steve Wilks because that's the exact scenario that's happening right now, and I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I'm just kind of using it as an example. But we've seen this in the past before. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, you know, you make the decision to go with the guy who did moderately well, and it's like, well, they could do this, and they just kind of sets your franchise back. Now, again, not every season you're going to have a Sean Payton available or some other other coaches, but, you know, I think the – and I said this when Jeff Saturday took over. Like, the coaching hiring process in the NFL is a mess. Like, I mean, people talk about it like it's this exact science. We go through this cycle every single – pretty much every single year or every few years where a couple names get hot, they have a good season, and generally, John – you know, people just look past it. Generally, they have a good season coaching a really good quarterback. And then you're mm-hmm. like, oh, my God, this guy's a genius. He's an offensive guru. He's this. He's that. He's another. He's the other. All of a sudden, you put him on a team with lesser talent, lesser ability, and they don't perform. And it's like, okay, that's not surprising because, well, how do you expect this person to achieve the same level of success without this great quarterback or without this great piece to go along with it? And you're seeing that all too often. Like, I mean, I think it was what, beginning of this year, where someone suggested that Sean McVay may be on pace to become the greatest coach of all time. And I'm sitting here smacking my head up against the wall because I'm like, guys, relax. And now all of a sudden we're hearing that he wants to step away from the team, or he has taken time away from the team to decide his future because he doesn't want to go through a rebuild. And I'm sitting here thinking like, that's not, you know, that's not great coaching. I mean, like, look, okay, he brought the Rams to two Super Bowls. You know, he's creative offensively. But trust me, you and I have talked at a great length about Sean McVay, and I look at it as a lot of performative antics. And that really grabs the media and fans' attention. So people are like, oh, look at Sean McVay. He's this, he's that. I mean, he needs a guy to keep him off the field. I always bring that up, John. I know people are rolling their eyes, but to me, that's kind of the epitome of it. I mean, if you have to hire a guy to keep you off the field of play while you're coaching, that just your priorities are out of whack, and that's just kind of silly to me. And you know, but people bought into it. And they're like, "Oh, Sean McVay." I mean, anyone who even talks to Sean McVay is going to get a job. Well, think about all those people that did get a job because they knew Sean McVay. Well, Cliff Kingsbury, he's out. I mean, Matt LaFleur, is his stock high right now? I don't think so.
Well, Kingsbury really wasn't tied into that.
Kingsbury.
Zach Taylor was a guy who's had a lot of success in Cincinnati. But again, you mentioned the key word, quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? That's the biggest thing. Like, Zach Taylor's first 2 years in Cincinnati, not really good. Joe Burrow shows up.
Really good.
really good. Carolina, you could put whoever you want as the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. They don't have a quarterback. Sam Darnold is their starting quarterback as of right now. So unless they figure that out, they're going to 6-6 is probably the ceiling. And again, we know that division, especially once Brady leaves, is really going to be up for grabs going forward. I mean, you know, the Buccaneers won it with a losing record, and the other three teams were one game behind at 7-10. So yeah, it's about the quarterback, right? Yeah. Once Matt Stafford got hurt, how were the LA Rams? You know, they were kind of in and out with other quarterbacks and Baker Mayfield and all of this stuff. So that's the key thing. You can have all the great coaches you want, but when you have that quarterback, they kind of do cover up a lot of the sins that coaches or general managers make commit. But yeah, I think that to me it's a disappointing, because I like McVay. I do. I like his energy. I think he's gonna be fantastic on TV, and maybe that's where he's gonna go and make almost as much money for a lot less work. But he's kind of quitting right on his franchise. They committed long term to him, and all of a sudden when the team got older and the quarterback got hurt and all of a sudden you're 5-12. It's like, well, I'm out of here. Whereas, you know, just give other coaches credit for, you know, at least Belichick, who I will criticize Bill Belichick, but at least the last 3 years, he's still kind of grinding through this thing and trying to get it right. I mean, I think he's made a lot of mistakes, but at least he's showing up and doing his job. But at least the guy is showing up. And the same thing with Andy Reid and some of these old coaches. Look at Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it have been easy for Mike Tomlin to say, hey, I don't have a quarterback. This is ridiculous. I'm done. And they went 9-8 this year with a rookie quarterback. Last year, they made the playoffs with Ben Roethlisberger, who looked like a ghost of his past. So give Mike Tomlin a lot of credit for just plowing through and doing his job as a coach. And I think the players, you know, really feed off of that. I'm sure those Steelers players right now are so disappointed they make the playoffs, partly because they wanted to show their coach that his faith in them would have been paid off.
Well, and like, too, you know, you think about the Rams, and we all kind of criticize, like, we all knew that this team was, they were trying to maximize their move to LA. They had the new stadium coming in. They had all this money, and people were like, oh, this is the new, this is the other thing, John. Oh, this is the new way of building a team. And I think anyone who knew anything about the structure of football realized this is eventually going to implode. And they were fortunate, not in a, oh, they were lucky, but they were fortunate that they were able to, at the very least, get a Super Bowl out of it. And that kind of helps ease the pain of what they're going through right now, because they're in cap hell right now. They have really no draft capital. Even if Matt Stafford comes back, I think, and I said this last year and perhaps, you know, earlier this year, I think they caught lightning in a bottle. And it doesn't mean that Matt Stafford's not a great quarterback. I just think everything came together at the right time for them last season. I don't think it's going to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen again. Surely I don't think it's going to happen now, based on what we've seen this year. And all, like you said, all of a sudden, overnight, they got old. I mean, they got really old overnight. All of a sudden, Jalen Ramsey, who, he's had a weird career arc, because when he first came into the league, he was easily one of the top three corners in the league. And then he had a massive regression. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Just a few years where he just kind of fell back, and then the trade to send him to LA was like, okay, you paid a lot, but what are you going to get out of him? And then to his credit, he kind of regained some of that eliteness, certainly during that Super Bowl run, but he seems to have gone right back to the mediocre version of himself, and certainly I don't anticipate that changing moving forward. He's not 26 years old anymore. I don't even know how old he is anymore. But so yeah, this team is it's not an ideal spot. And look, if you're Sean McVay, you know, you don't, you know, it's going to be a tough thing. But to your point, it's like I'd rather see him stick it out and try to fix it as opposed to kind of walking away. But, you know, we'll see what happens ultimately, because he hasn't made that decision officially.
No, and again, we've already got five openings. Carolina, maybe you call it 4.5 openings. They're going to interview Steve Wilkes for that position. And like you said, he went 6-6, which is a lot better than 1-4 where they started the season. But unless they get that quarterback position straightened out, that's going to be a .500 team. Because without that elite quarterback, or at least a very good quarterback, that's where you're stuck in the NFL.
Well, I heard
Look at the Jets. Look at the Jets, right? I mean, the Jets have an elite defense. They got a lot of weapons on offense. They had Joe Flacco playing on Sunday, you know, and then Zach Wilson performed even worse than him.
And I was going to say, that might have been their best option, too. Joe Flacco.
I mean, I still like the story that Joe Flacco's son was at the game and he was hanging out with Tyreek Hill and wearing a Tyreek Hill shirt, which, you know, I'm sure the Jets were like, our quarterback's kid's favorite player is Tyreek Hill, which is fine. I mean, that's the most 10-year-old. If you ask any 10-year-old who do you like better, Tyreek Hill or Joe Flacco, even Joe Flacco's son is going to say Tyreek Hill. He's an exciting player. But nonetheless, yeah, this is the Jets. They can't get anything right. Yeah. They can't even root for themselves.
Well, and like, that's the thing, too. It's like, we look at the Jets, we're like, wow, you know, the defense is, they're well-coached. You know, we think they're well-coached, they have some talent, but this window can close so quickly if they don't figure out the quarterback position. Because Zach Wilson isn't the answer. Joe Flacco isn't the answer. You know, Mike White, nice story here and there, nice moments, but, you know, he's not the answer. But again, I mean, that's where we've been at as a league for a while. I mean, it's a quarterback-driven league. You're not going to have success in this league without having a great quarterback. And it's like, we kind of talked about it a little bit yesterday, where it's like, okay, we're looking at the NFC playoff picture, and, you know, we talk about the Eagles, the Vikings, you know, the 49ers. But the thing that could throw a wrench in the whole plan is none of those teams have the best quarterback. Tampa does. I mean, I'm not talking about the best stats. And that often gets so, it ruins the conversation, because people will strictly look at stats. Like, yes, of course, some of these players had better stats than Tom Brady. Not much better. I mean, that's the thing. People have somehow convinced themselves that Brady had a down year when he was, technically he finished third in passing yards by virtue of sitting three quarters of last weekend's game and kind of just not playing anymore. He could have easily maintained that number two spot. I think he was seventh or eighth in touchdown passes, top 10 in completion percentage, and all those other stats. I mean, he was a top. So it's like he had a down year in terms of statistical output, sure, but if you're going to sit there and ask me to rank the quarterbacks in the NFC, well, Tom Brady's going to be number one on the list. I don't care if Jalen Hurts was an MVP candidate. I don't care what Brock Purdy's done with the 49ers. I couldn't definitely couldn't care less what Kirk Cousins has done. You know what I mean? I'm looking at it like, man, the Buccaneers, of all the turmoil that they've gone through this season, it's certainly not going to be easy by any means or even given, but that's the one saving grace for them is they have the best quarterback in the conference. And that could be the biggest difference in these playoffs.
You look at Tom Brady, he has 35 career playoff wins. The other six quarterbacks from the six playoff teams in the NFC have combined for two playoff wins. Kirk Cousins has one and Dak Prescott has one. And look, if your team is down 4 points with 2 minutes left of the seven starting quarterbacks in the NFC playoffs, tell me the quarterback you want with the ball in his hand, down four with 2 minutes left. It's not even close. And it's not just legacy. We don't have to go back to 2004. We can go back to like a month ago. He's had three of these such games this year, right? Arizona, New Orleans, and the Rams with like last minute touchdown drives. In fact, he had two of them against the Rams.
I think he had five game winning drives in the fourth quarter this year, which is crazy. Someone tweeted something like, "That's more than what Aaron Rodgers has had in the last like several seasons." And it kind of I'm just trying to put it in perspective because we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers here in a minute. So I'm kind of warming up a little bit. Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't talk about Tom Brady without talking about Aaron Rodgers.
That's true.
There's this constant back and forth like, oh, he's better here, blah, 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 blah. And what we've seen over the last few years in some of these situations have kind of put under a microscope the differences between the two. And in a lot of cases, they're not measured by statistics or numbers. It's just someone posted the last several key situations for the Packers where either the season was on the line or the NFC championship game. And his fourth quarter numbers are abysmal, like worse than what I thought. And this goes back to, you know, just the other day against the Lions with the game on the line with a chance to win is essentially what the circumstances are. And that includes, obviously, against the 49ers, against the Pack, or against the Buccaneers. So on the flip side, you look at this season, and as much as of a struggle as it has been for the Buccaneers and for Brady at certain points, you still have that feeling that no matter what, they're going to win the game. We saw that in the very last game of last season, down 27-3, John. We saw it two weeks prior to that when they came back against the Jets when Antonio Brown threw his hissy fit and this team was down like, oh my God, how are they going to win? Well, you got number 12 back there and they are just a – when they put the ball on his arm, on his shoulders, they are so much better. Doesn't mean they're the best team in the conference. I still think they have things that they need to fix and be more consistent on, but I have much better – feeling in my gut that they're going to figure it out when I know the offense is running through Brady's arm. And we saw that last week the week before last and for the brief period of time that he was in the game on Sunday, we saw that as well. So again, look at the NFC and the Eagles, rightfully so, should be the number one seed. They've had an excellent season. But as good as they are, they're Jalen Hurts or bust. I don't care how much talent you have on defense, how many sacks you got. I think they had like 10 or 15 more sacks than the next team this season. I don't care what kind of talent you have on offense, wide receiver, running back. If you don't have a quarterback, if you don't have an elite quarterback, and in this case, Jalen Hurts, then you're not going to do anything. You look at Minnesota. I mean, we don't even have to talk about Kirk Cousins and the differences between the two. Obviously, his opponent, Dak Prescott, has thrown 15 interceptions this season. And then the 49ers. And as nice as Brock Purdy has played, I mean, there's no reason to believe that if those two players get matched up, you're not gonna get a better performance or more clutch performance from Brady than Purdy. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily they're going to win the game, but, you know, again, it goes back to, well, if you're going into the NFC, what's the biggest advantage? Well, who has the best quarterback? The team with a losing record.
Yeah. No, really. I mean, and I think the best roster is San Francisco. I think everybody can agree with that, minus the quarterback. So now this theory of you need the elite quarterback to win a Super Bowl will be tested, because if the 49ers are able to win the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy, well, they've kind of pushed back against that argument. I think it could happen. They're that good. But again, even if they make it to the Super Bowl, they're going to be playing who? Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, someone who's an elite quarterback. And obviously the AFC representative would have a sizable advantage over the 49ers at that key position. Is San Francisco's roster that good that they can overcome that in the Super Bowl? That's going to be tested. It's going to be tested, to say the least. But, I brought up the 4-point deficit. What was Green Bay down with 6 minutes left on Sunday night? 20-16.
Yep.
And I didn't have a lot of confidence that he was going to lead them on a game-winning touchdown drive. I could tell from the very first play of that drive. Mm-hmm. I just said there's no urgency here. There's no energy. There doesn't seem to be any fire. And then that last pass that he threw, which, you know, could be his last pass as a Green Bay Packer or not, it just looked like a desperation throw. He just kind of threw it up for grabs along the sideline. Like, there was probably a 10% chance they were going to complete that pass. So, I mean, it'd be like, you know, you're down 4 in basketball, but let's just take a half-court shot and see if we hit that. Maybe we'll get our mojo back or whatever, and then got picked off. With Brady there, you know what he's going to do there. He's going to lead him down the field, and he's not going to go fucking out and throw an interception for the most part. He's going to steer the hell out of the opposition. With Rodgers, it was almost like, let's just get this thing over with, and I'm on my way.
Well, it's fine. Brady hasn't thrown, and this is what's crazy. You think about Josh Allen. You know, Josh Allen's thrown, what, 5 red zone interceptions this season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tom Brady hasn't thrown a single red zone interception his entire time in Tampa. And like that, and that's the absurd. And we're talking about, you know, 106 touchdown passes in 3 seasons.
Yeah. That's absurd.
Which is absurd. Yeah, it's absurd. And not to mention back-to-back seasons of throwing the most pass attempts in the league and completing the most. Like, that, again, that's just how it's
and those, it's silly. It really is silly.
Yeah.
At that age, we're talking about, and look, I always like to bring up LeBron when we're talking about Brady. Since LeBron turned 38, he's averaging 38 points per game.
Yeah. And it's still, it's crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, and if he gets in as a 6 seed in the West, people are going to say, holy crap, you know, we still got to go through this guy. Same thing with Brady, obviously. And look, 2 years ago, the Lakers were the defending champs. They were, I believe, the 6 seed, or no, they had to go in the play-in tournament. They won the play-in game, and I really felt that they were going to march through the playoffs, and I think they would have, then Anthony Davis got hurt. And then, you know, they lost to Phoenix in 6 games in the first round of the playoffs. But the same thing with Brady. Like, I will guarantee you he will scare the hell out of the Dallas Cowboys Monday night. I can't guarantee a win, but that's going to be there's going to be times in that game where the Cowboys are pooping their pants because of him, and only because of him.
Well, and just going into the game. I mean, think about it.
Sure.
We talk about, it's been 19, you know, since 1993, since the Cowboys won a road playoff game, and that pressure is on. You think Jerry Jones isn't thinking about that? I know, obviously, those players weren't alive for the time, but there's still a franchise pressure that looms over. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, okay, well, we get to go play on the road against, well, the greatest quarterback of all time, a player that has more Super Bowls than any franchise, let alone player. So, yeah, there is a lot of pressure, and if they come out flat, and look, Brady alluded to it on his podcast this week that this Buccaneers team is looking to be as healthy as it's ever been this entire season. Primarily, I'm thinking, you know, we haven't got an official update yet, but Ryan Jensen at center coming in, I think, changes a lot of things for this team, and we've seen them again in the last 5 quarters that Brady has played this season, essentially. I'm not counting. Like, I think he was taken out like maybe 5 minutes into the second quarter. They've been far more creative than they've been all season. So I'm sitting here thinking, like, have they been just kind of toying with us all year? No. I mean, part of it is they're getting healthy. They're playing a little bit better with the offensive line. And again, as much as we jump on the coaching, they at least hopefully look like they've realized what works for them on offense, because over the last month or so, we've seen far more glimpses of what this team, we expected them to be on offense, than what we did for the first 3 months of the season. So that's why the playoffs are great, because it really doesn't matter what you were for 18 weeks. You know, it's all 1-0 right now, you know, the classic cliche, just go 1-0 every week and you're fine.
Yeah.
And you're good. So,
yeah.
Good thing is, John, I think we got off, not off topic, but steered away from another. I was going to say something else about Aaron Rodgers, but I kind of forgot about it. So I think we lucked out there. But good. I put up a poll right before we got up on the air. Kind of wondering where he's ultimately going to play, because I think it's going to be a topic of conversation. Tom Brady and Steve Young were kind of talking about the whole retirement thing, and Steve Young pretty much compared it to, I'm paraphrasing him a little bit, but he called it choosing to live or die, essentially, because the moment you choose to retire is a part of you that's a death, essentially. And look, Brady kind of echoed those sentiments, and he said something that kind of put into more perspective the what happened last spring, and that was he alluded to making the decision too quickly, and he realized maybe it wasn't officially the day after the season ended, but he kind of made a reference to the fact that he had made up his mind pretty early after that last game, and then he realized it was a mistake. And kind of to the same point was, when you walk away from this, that's it. You're not, that part of your life is over. And as we learned this season, Tom Brady spent more than half of his life in the NFL. So the more I hear him talk and have these conversations, the more I don't hear retirement rumors. I mean, I would have probably said 10% chance at the beginning of the season. I'm up to probably 95% chance that he returns next year. Like, I don't think that's really a question at this point. I think he's going to be back. It's just a matter of where is he going to play. And, the other question, what I was kind of getting at was, well, we can worry about Brady after they're eliminated from the playoffs or, win the Super Bowl. The Aaron Rodgers story is right now. And I think this is something that if you're the Packers and if you're a Packers fan, you want it figured, and you said this yesterday, you want it figured out sooner rather than later. You don't want another Brett Favre situation. You don't want to handcuff, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you don't want to handcuff the organization by being undecisive and then ultimately deciding to walk away, putting them in a position where, well, what do we tell free agents, potential free agents? Who's going to be the quarterback? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Well, I don't know. Is it Jordan Love? I don't know. What we do know is it looks like Joe Barry's coming back, which is going to draw a lot of ire from Packers fans. But,
they move so slowly, that organization. They really do. They don't move on from coaches. I mean, look, you had an opportunity in that game against Detroit. It was 4th-and-2 when Dan Campbell famously was just waving the offense to go back on and go for it. And he comes out in his own defense. Like, and Matt LaFleur, they showed Matt LaFleur's face, and he was kind of like shaking his head as if to say, why were we in a zone in that situation? You know what, Matt? You're the head coach.
Yeah.
You can override your coordinators. I know everybody's into, I'll handle the offense, you handle the defense. But at some point, the head coach has to get on the headset. I'm sure Belichick's done it and still does it. I'm sure Parcells did it. And say, look, why are we in a zone defense here? Because, I could have completed a pass to you to pick up that first down, Ian. In fact, we might have picked up more yards. It would have been a more accurate pass. It wasn't even an accurate pass from Goff. The receiver made a nice catch and kind of rolled for the first down. I'm like, what are you doing in his own defense? And that far off the wide receivers, you make a play there, it's maybe not a ball game, but, now the momentum is back on your side. But that Green Bay moves so slowly with stuff like this. But as far as Aaron Rodgers, still a lot of money to be had for him. I believe the next 2 years he can earn close to $110 million. Yeah. That's a lot of money to walk away from.
58.3 guaranteed next year, which
that's a lot of money. Yeah,
it is, but at the same time, he's made a lot of money. You know what I mean? And it's all, like I said before, when we were talking about money, it's all relative. Billionaires, millions mean nothing. Thousandaires like us, $100. Well, that means a lot, actually. But you know what I'm saying? It's all relative. And I think to Aaron Rodgers, and he even kind of said it in his post-game press conference and some comments after that, would you have a problem walking away with that? And he's like, not really. And I believe him. I mean, obviously an extra $60 million would be nice, but at a certain point, certainly a guy like him, I don't see him as a guy who necessarily has to, Like, we were talking about it the other day. It's like, where would he go? Well, I could see him go living in a van in the woods by choice. You know what I mean? Like, that type of thing. So I don't think he's financially strapped by any means, and I don't think he necessarily needs, you know, that type of wealth. I think he's more than set. So, like, I'm not necessarily going to say that's the reason why he wouldn't come back or why he would definitely come back. I'm conflicted, though, because, like, we felt last year, like, okay, this was the year that they were going to move on, especially when Davante Adams, you know, that whole situation played out. That didn't happen. You had some good moments this year, but clearly, and we talked about this yesterday, I think it was a combination of lack of talent, poor coaching, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers kind of taking a little bit of a step back. And with him taking a step back, it highlighted some of his other shortcomings. And again, this is the, you know, kind of the failures in the fourth quarter and some of those clutch moments where in the past, if he came up short, it wasn't necessarily a big deal unless it was in an NFC championship game. Because, okay, if that's the case, if you fall short against team A, B, or C in the regular season, well, you're still going to end up 14-2 or 14-3 or 13-4, you know, right in that range, and you kind of forget about it. But you have moments like you had this past Sunday where you're playing the Lions in the regular season and you need those clutch moments. And if you don't get it, you're done. You don't even go to the playoffs. And I think that kind of magnifies things. So the Packers are in a situation where they need more talent. If they're going to bring back Aaron Rodgers, you need to drastically upgrade what's around him. And it's not an insult towards Aaron Rodgers. It's just at this point in his career, you know, we talked about it a bit yesterday. He's a far more physical quarterback than Tom Brady. Brady's mechanically probably the most mechanically sound human, let alone quarterback, that you're going to get. You know what I mean?
He's a cyborg.
Yeah. And that's not meaning like, oh, he's not human. No, it's just the way he plays the position.
Very regimented. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. And that allows
him. His life is regimented, yeah, right? I mean, he knows what he's going to be doing. He knows what he's doing, yeah. April 2nd, you know, at 2 o'clock. He's scheduled his way out, whereas I think Rodgers is more kind of a fly by the seat of his pants. I'm not saying the guy is, you know, not buttoned up, but yeah. And
it's just a different style of play, that's all.
Oh, I mean, they were showing it the other night. Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers throw with their feet off the ground and still are incredible, you know, because they have that type of arm, whereas Brady is. If you were going to show someone how to play the quarterback position, you probably show them Brady, you know, in terms of like all the mechanically sound.
He's the
stuff.
Tommy Mansky,
infield,
outfield, baseball videos we used to see all the time where the kids were like so perfectly lined up and you pull the arm back, you know, set, turn, twist, throw. Like,
oh yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, he's a fanatic about it. Yeah. That's why he's the greatest ever. So as far as the money part of it too, is the benefit for Aaron Rodgers is never been married, no kids, doesn't even speak to his family, so there's not a lot of hangers on there, right? It's not like he's got a...
Aaron Rodgers. me and him, there's a lot in
you're
common
your
here.
Life a lot like him?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like, I don't care what people think, because, you know, you're a star quarterback, you're supposed to be married with kids at this point, right? You're supposed to have the pictures with mom and dad and the siblings, and he has none of that. You know, he's kind of an iconoclast. So, yeah, so the money part of it, maybe not as much as Brady, who's, well, he's not really losing any money to Giselle. She has more than him. But Brady's still got this competitive fire. I think he's definitely playing. Rodgers, I think he'll probably still play next year, most likely in Green Bay, because they're in a tough situation. Like, and again, they don't have an owner. So they're kind of like trying to figure out, there's a poll out there now, favorite Packers quarterback ever. And right now, Bart Starr is leading the poll over Brett Favre, over Aaron Rodgers. And I would think more people on Twitter are younger, right?
Yeah.
So Bart Starr, who hasn't played in 50 years and is up in heaven, and you know, right now is the most popular Packers quarterback on Twitter.
Well, and
that kind of, you know, is interesting.
To be fair, though, I mean, a lot of reasonable Packers fans really have not questioned, but, you know, they haven't been all, you know, fanboy, so to speak, with Aaron Rodgers. They've voiced some frustration, a lot of the things that we've talked about. Now, you know, you're still going to get those, you know, people that are like, oh, he's the greatest this, he just didn't have enough help. And, you know, obviously there's, and I suggested that they need to get more talent around him moving forward if he's going to be the quarterback. But the other issue, John, is, you know, in order to move him, he's not a free agent. You know what I mean? So it's like another right. team has to take on that contract. Now, that's, you know, that's fine. Like, I think, you know, that's fine for a team that desperately wants a quarterback. Is it going to be New York? Is it going to be Tennessee? I think you brought that up yesterday, and I you know, the more I think about it, it's like that seems like it could be a nice, really nice play, especially with a stud running back. You know what I mean?
Mike Vrabel is the coach.
You know, and look, they got to fix their team. This isn't the ideal situation. They're going to have to fix a lot of things on their side of the ball. But, you know, Tennessee might be a team. I don't know.
Can I propose this far-fetched idea?
Sure.
This is strictly NBA type stuff. Aaron Rodgers to Denver for Russell Wilson, straight up.
Well,
I got you speechless there. That's pretty good.
I mean, it sounds ridiculous, John. And it probably is. but
why not?
Yeah, I mean, look, Denver, I'm sure would love that. They don't care if Aaron Rodgers sucks for the next 2 years. They would love
better,
that. Because one, it's still better. And two, at the very least, they'll be out of that contract in a couple of years. So, man, you'd really have to be really sold that you can fix Russell Wilson, or it must be a big Wisconsin Badgers fan if you want to do something like that if you're Green Bay, because
don't you think his shtick would work in Green Bay more than it would work anywhere else?
Well,
like, you know,
if they commit,
he'd end every press conference would go back bow, and Rodgers kind of would fit in Denver, you know, kind of this liberal, well, I don't even know what he is politically, but kind of this a different environment,
yeah.
Right? And the Waltons got plenty of money, so they, you know, look, the contracts are both not great, but yeah, like you said, Russell Wilson's is longer. And yeah, I just, you know, why not? The NBA, this would happen. You know, okay, let's get on the phone and make
it
happen.
But then Russell Wilson would be waived and be a free agent with 7 years. You know what I mean? Like, that's how the NBA works. So.
Yeah, and they'd give him 10, you know, they'd buy him out and, you know, move other contracts to make it happen. But just, you know, why not? There's some crazy stuff out there.
Well, look, I mean, I'm kind of with you. I think Aaron Rodgers comes back for at least another year. Although I'm like so torn. I'm looking at the poll that I posted right before we got on the air, and it's 37% Packers, 27% other, and 36% retire. Which is kind of like, I mean, that's kind of like, I mean, if I were going to put a percentage, that's kind of like where I'm at right now, to be honest with you.
Makes sense. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you know, we'll have a bit, you know, again, these things will play out a lot better once we get a little bit more into the off season. Like, you know, again, at the end of the 2019 season, you know, people weren't talking about Tampa Bay as the likely destination for Tom Brady the day after the season ended. No, I mean, there was a lot that went into it. Now, it didn't take long, about a month or so. So again, if you're Green Bay and if you're Green Bay Packers fans, you want this resolved around then. You don't want it to linger. You don't want to have this back and forth, because I think Packers fans are torn. I think some of them, as much as they love Aaron Rodgers, might think, okay, we're going to have to make that move very soon at some point. Let's just do it now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's not keep putting off the inevitable. Let's just, you know, see what we have in Jordan Love and then move on. We're not in the playoffs this year. There doesn't seem to be a, you know, clear path to kind of regain what they had moving forward. So again, sometimes you just got to take your lumps and move on. And maybe a team like the Raiders, who are looking for a quarterback, we keep talking about Tom Brady. What if it's Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, that's another problem with Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
You know, reunite, and I think they got along fine. I think Devontae Adams just didn't want to live in Green Bay anymore. Again, you only spend what 5 months of the year there, but you know, where would you rather live, Las Vegas or Green Bay, when it comes to weather, for sure?
Yeah,
that I think he'd look cool in that uniform. Again, I'm a big uniform guy. I don't want to see him in Tennessee. Not a good uniform. Denver, so-so in the uniform side. The Raiders, oh boy, that would look cool.
Yeah, that would look pretty cool. So I'm sure we'll learn more soon, but for now we're gonna say goodbye because it's our time to go. So I was thinking about maybe starting speaking of Aaron Rodgers, maybe a Mr. Rodgers closing routine, you know, taking off my shoes and everything like that. But no, not going to do that today. Maybe we'll implement that in future shows. But for now, we're just going to say goodbye. We're going to remind you, tune in on Thursday when we're back. And, of course, keep an eye on fullpresscoverage.com because we will be doing plenty of stuff leading up to the playoffs and throughout the postseason. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and we will talk to you soon.